You've just stumbled into a podcast, Binge Watchers Podcast. If it's your first time shambling through, welcome to the show. We'll take it easy on all you noobs. And again, you didn't stumble into your favorite pub unless you listen to podcasts while you're at the pub, which I'm told is a thing. I'll find out soon enough. That's a different story. Go look up last week's episode. Follow all the little stories that me and Jordan are throwing out here. Who's Jordan? It's Jordan Savage. She's so savage. She can review a movie without having seen it. And I'm Johnny Spoiler. I'm only going to spoil the movies for you that I love. It's Binge Watchers Podcast. We're here again. Kind of a belated Mother's Day. Usually our episodes will fall on a Mother's Day holiday. And so we'll have like a holiday episode. People love our holiday episodes. Let's see. What have we done in the past? We've done like Valentine's Day bromances. We've done like holiday playlists. Stocking stuffers. They're usually pretty big on this show. But it fell on a weekend. It never seems to, I don't think it ever falls, rarely falls on a weekend, at least in my memory. But here's some badass movie moms. Ellen Ripley in Aliens. Ellen Ripley again in like Aliens Part 4 when she's getting cloned and has like a half alien baby. And then how about the queen of the aliens in Aliens and also the alien queen? Actually, the alien queen in like Alien 4 is a bad mom. She wants to kill the alien human hybrid. You know, whatever. But she's, or Gina Davis in The Long Kiss Goodnight, I think is the name of the movie. She's like she has like a double life. She's like a government assassin. And then like she brainwashes herself to get rid of the programming, but then snaps back into it. And she has a daughter in there and like cares for the daughter. That's another badass movie mom. And then we've been playing around with AI. So I've been kicking around. He's like, what does it look like if you're in a Studio Ghibli animation or like, you know, like animated movie? Like, what does that look like? And then Jordan thought that I kicked out a grandpa, Jordan.
It does.
I think like it's grandmother would be more appropriate, right? Like, I think it still looks feminine, but it has white hair. Studio Ghibli kicked out white hair for Jordan. And Jordan was at like a restaurant. Even the person in the back, who's like another lady, young lady, is also given silver hair. But that's, I guess, like Studio Ghibli has a lot of like older anime characters in general. If you watch their movies, folks, if you're watching podcast watchers, you'll see what I'm talking about. Podcast listeners, I'll describe it for you. Studio Ghibli makes like Princess Mononoke, Ponyo,
Kiki's Delivery Service. Kiki's Delivery Service.
Thank you. Howl's Moving Castle. All that kind of stuff.
Spirit Away.
Yeah, so yeah, she's wearing glasses. It looks like Jordan's jacket from the photograph she had on Facebook, and it turned her hair silver and maybe aged her up a little. I had a Studio Ghibli thing that looks like a radio DJ of me in the microphone for the podcast, and it aged me up too. But, you know, it's just that style, I guess, has older characters. But I'm led to believe it's a grandma, and then that leads me to think about Hollywood gilfs. Gilfs, grandmas I'd like to take off for pancakes, Jordan. And talk about how they survived the Depression and maybe knit a scarf for Cousin Steven. I did not say what GILFS actually stands for. Somebody else can look up the Urban Dictionary. That's where you thought I was going. That's where they thought I was going, Jordan. They thought I was going to be dirty.
Well, guess who that was like? Jamie Lee Curtis. So I'm a fan of her, too.
Silver Queen. So Silver Scream Queen. Yeah.
Yep.
Jordan's our local Scream Queen here. We're getting to see all the horror movies. Summer Slash is around the corner. I know everybody's been dying for like a new anime, and we had an anime exclusive yesterday. Not yet, yesterday. It feels like we record so much that it is every day. It's all consuming.
Sure did.
Before we started, Jordan's like, did we talk about this movie last week, or are we talking about it today? I'm like, oh, you mentioned
it. And it kind of does blend together. So yeah.
It starts to blur once you start cranking like 100. You've done, I think, maybe 100 of these things, 50 a year. On your second year?
Yeah. Year number two, just about a year and a half in. So yeah,
podcast veteran. Looks exactly like that photo. It's taking it out of her, folks.
Yeah, starting to age.
She's getting those crow's feet.
Yeah.
Let's see, what else is going on? Oh, should we go to headlines? Should I play the theme song? Let's see.
Do the theme song.
All right.
Crack open a cold box of wine or pour something cold on ice because it's the Binge Watchers Podcast.
I shouldn't tell the audience how lazy I am, right? As a video editor. I'm watching this logo video play going, oh, I need to update the animation for the theme song. And there's a new logo floating out there. I need to update that too. But it's so easy. Once you have a nice video, just to click the button to play the video for the people. Welcome to Home Video Headlines. Let's see. What's the latest news in the world of TV and movies? Actually, there's a movie that sounds like AI wrote it. It's called That's Amore with John Travolta and Katherine Heigl. I saved a screenshot of the plot summary on my phone. So I'm going to actually dig that up and read it to everybody. But I mean, like, calling your character amore, which is like an Italian word, I think, for like love or affection or something, and like literally making that part of the plot sounds like something ChatGPT or like one of those things would do, right? That's the wrong article. That's about Paramount closing things down.
I was going to say, I watched the completely wrong trailer then, so.
Oh, did you? Well, there's no trailer yet, as far as I know. Oh, why is there goodness. Already a movie called?
There's That's a more? Netflix movie coming out, and it is definitely something that a 30-year-old girl would watch.
Thank you, Jordan, for keeping us away from dead air by mentioning you looked up the wrong Amore movie.
Run it
Way
up.
To keep it rolling. So this is reported by Deadline, like about a week ago. So the film is heading into production in August, follows Nick Veneer, played by John Travolta, who's a modern-day Marty. That's a classic movie, folks. He had bad dates, lived with his mom, and mom was freaking out because he was going into his 40s, had no wife. A little prehistory on the Marty reference. Anyway, so Nick Veneer, he's never been married, and his best dating years are behind him. Yeah, because Travolta's like, what, 70? He's never heard the words, I love you, and figures he never will. Then Patty Amore shows up, played by Katherine Heigl, who has her own share of problems as well. She's shy, introverted. She's filled with nervous tics and nervous habits. And then a secret from her past, combined with her overprotective father, have caused her to withdraw from the dating game. But when Nick and Patty meet, literally bumping into one another, they share an immediate connection. When these two emotionally damaged people attempt to date one another, their families get involved, and the results are hilarious. That sounds like an automatic plot, right? For like a Lifetime movie? I mean, it's not very deep. Yeah. It's just like, we're going to call her Amore. She's going to run into John Travolta. Their meet-cute is literally going to be bumping into each other, and then hilariousness ensues.
Yeah, you nailed it. You nailed it. Yeah. What an interesting movie couple.
Yeah, because, well, I mean, Heigl is about, like, what, middle-aged maybe now? Maybe?
Maybe, like 45. No. I mean,
what's the Heigl?
But she's, like, in her mid-40s. Yeah.
And she hates her. The movie I like her in the most, she hates herself in, is Knocked Up. Have you seen this movie?
Yeah.
She plays, like, a person at Entertainment Tonight, producer, and she gets pregnant with, like, kind of a slouchy, I don't know, binge watchery type dude. Like, I don't know. Seth Rogen plays like a couch stoner who's trying to build a website with his friends.
I served her once at the breakfast restaurant I worked at.
Really?
She was just as beautiful in person and incredibly nice. So
was she nice?
It was awesome.
Okay. I guess she didn't like being in that type of comedy movie, right? The only thing I like her in is a rom-com with Gerard Butler, where he's like a bounty hunter.
The Ugly Truth.
Oh no, wait, is it the news one? You're right, it's the news one where he's telling stories about relationships.
Yes.
And she's the other newscaster. And that's kind of like a same thing. Will they, won't they?
Yeah.
That was entertaining.
It's a
good
one.
Yeah. Ooh, so this movie that we've talked about in the past that we had like no way to show you is actually getting restored and remastered by Neon Studios. And I think they're the ones that brought the movie Pig with Nick Cage. Anyway, Neon's doing a lot of cool stuff. Like, they're one of my favorite like production houses right now. But Park Chan-wook, who's a South Korean filmmaker, made Old Boy. And it's actually one of my favorite movies of all time. It's kind of a seriously crazy story, though. It's like a live-action anime, believe it or not. It's like an action drama. This drunk is hanging out at the beginning of the movie. He gets kidnapped. He doesn't know who his kidnappers are. They brainwash him for like 30 years, then release him with a single mission. And then it gets kind of crazy from there. And if I spoil this movie, I'd be a total rotten bastard. So I can't even say, for the sake of like living up to my namesake on the show and doing my justice by spoiling this movie, even that one I hold sacred. So, because it's a really great twist. And if I, now I've told you there's a twist, but you know what I mean? Like, there's like an extreme, it's like they had these movies come out for like 20 years in the 90s to the early 2000s called like Asian Extreme Imports, right? Like really crazy horror movies or like really dark dramas, mostly like crime stories. But this is one of the best.
Yeah. I am glad that you didn't spoil it because yeah. I had to watch the trailer for everything in the home video headlines. But
there is a
so
remake
incredible. Yeah.
Floating out there too. There's one with Josh Brolin and Elizabeth Olsen. And it's not as gritty. It's a little bit more toned down, but has like the major set pieces still, you know, so it has like the major story arcs. That one's probably easier to find, but you have to watch the original first, obviously, because it would ruin the best parts of the original and not do it as well. So, but yeah, for the sake of Savage, I won't ruin it.
Definitely put it on the list.
Oh, and then the filmmaker who made, I'm probably going to butcher his name, Yorgos Lanthimos? Lanthimos? I don't know. Sounds Greek. Sorry if I'm butchering your name. But The Killing of a Sacred Deer and Dogtooth. Usually I try to look up how to pronounce people's names so I sound smarter, but I didn't do it tonight. I'm sorry. Anyway, Dogtooth is a super twisted, incestuous movie. Like this, is it a German family? Is it a Nazi family? I'm not sure what it is. This guy isolates his children and almost forces his children into like a child marriage. And has like all these rules about the world because he's like afraid of the world. It's a really screwed up movie. And then Killing of a Sacred Deer, there's a doctor who this kid thinks botched the surgery and killed like his sibling or crippled his sibling. So then he tries to cripple the doctor and the doctor's wife, who's Nicole Kidman. And the doctor is Colin Farrell.
Yes.
That's a pretty crazy movie too.
It looked so good.
Why am I rambling on about this Greek filmmaker, right? I think he's Greek. Like, we find out he's not even Greek at all. There's no way to know unless we Google it. But this thing's coming out. He has a take on Frankenstein based on a 1992 novel. But Emma Stone and William Dafoe are going to show up in this movie called Poor Things. The trailer just dropped, and we're covering it. It's going to slide right into our weird September this year because I think it's worthy of like us sitting down to talk about it.
Oh, my goodness.
That's my impression.
The scenes just look so like whimsical and wild. Yeah. So...
we're here tonight to talk about an anime called Legend of Lemnir. I'm sure Jordan will tell you a little bit about it, but I was going to say take it easy on you or whatever, but I just like lost my train of thought because I'm just thinking about mispronouncing people's names all night long. Anyway, Legend of Lemnir is like from the 80s, I think. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's like 89. Lemnir's a warrior on a quest to avenge the death of her parents while trying to find the sorcerer who's responsible, destroyed her hometown. She discovers that she's part of an ancient prophecy. It's kind of like an X-rated Zelda movie. Not X-rated, maybe R-rated. I don't know if it was rated today, where would it land? I'm not sure. Because even Police Academy was PG. Actually, I guess that's not fair. Because the ratings used to be much looser than they were tightened in the 90s. And then I feel like it's political. It's like some films will like kind of grease the wheel of the MPAA to get better ratings, and they're not necessarily more intense or less intense. This is a rambling episode. Disclaimer, rambling all night long. I don't feel bad if the Savage stats are statless.
They're a little lackluster.
This is a hard movie.
Yeah.
I knew she had her work cut out for her because literally you'll find a Wikipedia entry which will tell you about the plot. You'll know it's an OAV because it says it is. And then you might find a copy to watch online. You have to scour the earth for this movie. But it's worth it, I think. Anyway, is there anything else you've found out?
That pretty much sums it up, other than talking about like synopsis-based, I guess you could call them facts. But
yeah,
no, you just got it. It's an OVA. It did come out in 1989. Based on... the manga of the same name, right?
Yeah.
It's known for its artwork, which was by Satoshi Yoshihara. Apologize for the pronunciation on that one.
Yeah, so you said his name is Yoshi Mushroom.
But of course, is known for distinctive art style. His designs are often emphasized of female characters with slender figures, which you would notice right away. If
I'm sorry, did you say accentuates the female character?
Yeah, just a little bit, this one. Intricate costume details, which are evident in the Lemnir and other female characters in the series. But yeah, you pretty much...
It looks like a Final Fantasy video game on the screen. And honestly, there's some killer... There's like a lot of cool stuff that happens in this in 45 minutes that doesn't happen in like a three-hour-long Lord of the Rings type movie, you know?
So, oh, yeah.
Here we go. Let's see. Wow. Favorite bits. I kind of spoiled the fact that I liked the movie. I'm picking a lot of favorites this year. Just FYI, folks. Want to get on the inside details? I'm picking stuff that I know stands a chance of being loved. Anyway, here we go.
I would say to kick it off, probably the bar fight in like the very first, you know, maybe 5 to 10 minutes. Lemnir walks into a tavern and she's being chased by Vuon's. Essentially his goonies, if you will. Vuon is essentially the master that holds her captive in the movie, and she has to like break free of his harem. But I love that she's in essentially the tavern and she's like making connections with the real people, and the, you know, goonies want to try to like get her because, you know, she's a hottie with a little naughty body. And that's what Vuon wants her for.
But it starts out like a classic anime, like you're right in the action. Right? You get introduced to this guy, the Warrior of Bronze, who's like Lemnir's counterpart. And then the wizard's there. So you see a bunch of dark magic, a bunch of action pieces. Then Lemnir, as Jordan said, you know, has like a, she flies in on her pet pterodactyl or whatever. And then he's hanging out. And then you realize, oh, this is like a, you know, she's like a princess to be reckoned with. You know what I mean? She's like a warrior princess, warrior queen, whatever, Xena type, you know, look out. And then, the harem thing, mistake. I mean, she's like the Warrior of Silver, so she has inherent, like, dormant magic that really trauma wakes up, and then she unleashes her powers all over that place, breaks the slaves out, starts a revolt, gets reconnected with her counterpart, the Warrior of Bronze, so they can take on the corrupt Warrior of Gold, who, spoiler alert, his arm was removed, and that's what turned into the evil wizard. So basically, they're fighting, like, three versions of the same thing. They got to fight him in wizard form, decayed zombie human form, dragon form. Then he's like a giant stone giant. They got to fight that thing. Skeletor looking thing.
I thought that was kind of cool too. Was like the, you know, evil guy's like evolution into this like massive stone.
Yeah, he's like leveling up to a final boss. This is very much like video game fantasy. Sure. Like this is like a pinnacle anime. Like people should definitely seek this out. Not just for the harem scenes, okay? That accentuate the character.
Yeah, there's a lot
designs.
Of boob fondling.
There's a lot of unwanted groping top-notch. And touching. Somebody call HR.
But I thought, I thought it was pretty cool when the villain, I forget what his name is, obviously, Dark Lord Baller or whatever, he like gets sliced in the
you
shoulder.
Can make it up and it sounds almost accurate. Lord Volter Meistermaking.
And like this whole other like being kind of like morphs out of his head, and so I don't know, it was just like action-packed for 40 minutes. But then, I mean,
my favorite bit is like you find out that the Warrior of Bronze and the Warrior of Silver are supposed to link up its destiny and become the new Warrior of Gold together and spank this evil wizard dude, you know, put him back in his place. And killer soundtrack, dude, kick in the best the 80s ever had. You're like watching an MTV video in the third act. There's lasers, there's beams of light. They get back on the pterodactyl thing and they fly towards the stone giant. And it's like, we get all this compressed in like 45 minutes, folks. And it doesn't, it's like a lot of people are like complaining now, CGI, whatever. People can't make fantasy movies. I'm like, take a playbook right here. Watch Lemire and then make a movie. Like,
yeah.
Again, it starts where you should start it, like right in the middle of the action, and it doesn't stop. It doesn't, and like, it still tells you the important things, like, this is Lemire and this is her quest, and da 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 da. But it doesn't, mm-hmm. it doesn't like, it doesn't do what The Hobbit does, and let's eat fish and then do dishes for an hour and a half.
Like, so. Well, you're right. Like, it does the like character development like right away without having to ask too many questions. It's like, here's what you need to know. And it's like, you're on the trajectory right away. But also, yeah, the music was just so like 80s rock that I was like, you know, air drums, just getting really stoked. Yeah, for
like,
it,
so. Like big hair, glam 80s killer rock. And then fantasy fight sequences with monsters and swords and magic. It's a winning combination. 110,000%. Did I say my favorite bit?
I mean, some of them. I don't know. Yeah, that like was kind of a whole 5 minutes wrapped of.
Yeah, I guess. I'm not going to define it, but that, yeah, I guess. Yeah, I've said them. People can figure it out. Draw your own conclusions to what my favorite bits are.
There you go.
Yeah. Let's rate it. Let's see. Well, usually we go binge now, binge later, binge never. It's our patented rating system on the show. Basically, watch it before anything else tonight. Put it above your Ted Lasso's, above your Life and Death, whatever else. Move it to the top of your playlist. And then binge later is like, get to it eventually. Maybe there's other anime you're watching. Howl's Moving Castle. Ponyo. I don't know. Whatever. Kiki's Delivery Service. Like, maybe you've got other anime you want to get to. Naruto season 5 or whatever the hell you're watching. And then never means like, you'll never get this time back. You can feel the cancer growing in your body. I'm dying. Like that's what that means emotionally. Mm-hmm. That's what binge never means. I'll go to Jordan Savage for the first answer. How do you rate this Legend of Lemire?
It was a binge now for me. I'm a sucker for a heroine. She is such a BA. She wears tiny skirts, A+ in my book. Mm. So all for it. What about you? What would you vote it?
Jordan may or may not carry knives into the woods like Lemire. I don't know if she flies around on a pet pterodactyl.
Almost.
Unconfirmed. But I feel like it lines up. Lifestyle. I actually would vote this up for everybody. I would say binge now. Like, again, I'm like obsessed anime fan. Never going to confirm whether or not I like harem scenes. You'll never get it out of me. Do love the 80s magic. So I say, you know, you can move it to the top of your anime list if you're craving something and you got nothing else. Go for it, you know. And again, it's pirated on like 10,000 websites. It might be the only way to find it. I didn't say commit a crime, but I, you know, you dig around, somebody's hosting it somewhere.
You want to find it, you can find it.
Fan service. We usually talk about fans that have dropped a 5-star rating on us, prizes they can win. You can get a box set of the Vampire Hunter D stuff. Give us a 5-star rating. Jordan, what do we like?
We like reviews. What do we like to do? Review. I want to see a video testimonial from one of our
we want.
Listeners.
Oh, yeah. So we can still get voicemails, and Jordan wants to push for tell us about your favorite scary movie or whatever over the summer. We'd love to hear that. Or you can tell us, you can drop us your favorite anime. It's not enough just to comment on the YouTubes or the LinkedIn or the Facebooks or the scary ass DMs that I'm getting on Instagram these days. Like, that's not enough, folks. You gotta send Jordan some video, you know?
Yeah. Submit a video review to us, please. Email it.
And then we'll give you some cool stuff. Someone called me an alpha male on Instagram. I'll take it. My opinion on alpha males is they're not the loudest guy in the room. They're not making you measure them up. They're not obnoxious. They're not trying to tell you that they're alphas. No, they're the ones that like saunter into a room, graze around, and then devour everything in sight at their own pace. You know what I mean? Like, but he's like, because he watched one of our recent anime interviews, and I got something out of the creator of a show that like nobody had heard. We got like a real exclusive because I got him to admit something And the person's like, oh, is that real? Like, so then I like was responding to the way I was conducting the interview and was like, oh, true alpha. And I just like, I was like, yeah. You know what I mean? I was just like, yeah. Like, what do you want? Dope stuff on Binge Watchers Podcast. Jordan Savage, Johnny Spoiler. That's why I need to be here. I don't know what else you guys are listening to. What? True Crime Diaries, episode 700. A new evidence is presented in the retrial. Probably. People have stopped listening. Now they're looking to see if True Crime Diary is actually a show. And I don't, it might actually be, but I'm just kind of rolling off the back of my head. Staff picks. Can we recommend something other than the movie of the week that we recently watched? You got something, Jordan?
Yeah, I will not stop talking about this. I am going to talk about it forever and ever. I've sent it to so many friends. It's called Horror in the High Desert, and it's found on Amazon Prime. I don't want to say too much because I think it will spoil just a little bit and kind of like, I don't know why I want to use the word novelty in terms of explaining the first time that I had watched it, but I was absolutely terrified. I haven't been this scared in a really, really long time. I had to have like a barrier between myself and the TV, like a blanket wall, because I was so scared to watch. And it's about a young introvert who's actually a survivalist and has like a very quiet life. But his friends and family didn't really know that he had this massive survivalist blog, because he would just like go on these hikes in the backcountry of Nevada for like days, almost weeks. And so he would survive off of essentially the land and the stuff that he found and bring water. And it is absolutely wild. And so he goes missing, and it's about solving the mystery of his disappearance. And so I will just leave it at that. And I recommend going to watch it because it was absolutely terrifying.
I did not watch true crime terrifying thing. I tuned into what's his name? Ben Affleck and Matt Damon made pseudo historical drama about Nike making the Air Jordans.
Yeah.
So it was like how they created the shoe, how they got Michael Jordan to agree, how his parents were involved in the decision. So yeah, I mean, like there, I forget, I don't know the shoe dog. I mean, Phil the Shoe Dog, the guy who ran Nike. I don't know his last name. He has a book called Shoe Dog, but so his philosophies play into it. And then there's the salesman who I didn't know anything about, played by Matt Damon. Here's the problem. There's literally no, I mean, they try to say the stakes are Nike will go out of business if we don't get this deal. And they're mad about our last few deals and we don't have a great basketball star. And then there was cool ideology. There was a cool scene when they were talking about like how they foresee how, like how what a legend Michael Jordan's going to be, and they're recognizing for his talent, which that was respectable. However, this in movies like this, you got to feel like just like if you're not on the edge of your seat, like you got to believe that the stakes are valid, like that something's on the line, like really on the line. I love these movies about like how things get sold or things get made, but it's like, it was only this ambiguous thing that they would lose their jobs or their Nike would go out of business, right? Plus, we had the hindsight of like we're watching a movie about a billion dollar company, but it's like how do they become a $1 billion company? They create the Air Jordan. The shoe guy in the basement was kind of fascinating. Like the guy was like, I've been waiting to design a shoe like this. You know what I mean? Like, right. So you got that guy. However, I guess ultimately I was disappointed, and I really wanted to like it. I wanted to like it so bad, you know? But yeah, it didn't happen. Huh, and I love those kind of movies.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's that. And then we got a wild couple of weeks. Like there's a business trip where I'm doing this London thing, which I mentioned last week. I don't want to talk too much about it because everybody's like, watch yourself in London. I'm like, what do you mean? Like, what's going to happen? You know what I mean? Like, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a good time.
I feel like people are so scared to travel. They say that wherever you go. Like, use your brain, have fun. It's an experience.
I'm getting going a fanny pack. I'm getting like the traveler's fanny pack, and I'm just gonna like, I got my luggage.
I'm backpacking this weekend, and so I scared the living life out of me last night, and now I'm literally gonna go into the middle of the desert, pretty much. So
it's perfect
timing.
I mean, I grew up in Arizona, man. Rattlesnakes, scorpions, spiders, they don't really bother you. They have their own life. It's not that bad. So, I mean, hikers do get lost. That is true. I mean, I think that actor that we like is still missing, Julian Sand, the home movie actor.
Oh, no.
Gosh, I don't know. Where are we? Yeah, let's leave it on a down note. Murder, death, hiking accidents. See you next week. What? I haven't actually ended on a sour note like that in a long time. We're probably going to come back with another anime episode to finish off the anime run, and it's called Redline. It's like an intergalactic race with like monsters, aliens, robots, deception, crazy animation style. It was recommended by a friend of mine, and we'll have to take a look at it.
I'm excited.
Murder, death, this hikes.
Sounds been great.
Murder, death, hike actually could be a true crime show.
Yeah. I hope I'm not featured on it.
You can't be Murder, Death, Hike, the star of murder. Well, I mean, you could be the host. Like, hey, it's Jordan Savage. I'm about to tell you a savage tale of Murder, Death, Hike. But no, you don't want to be the... You don't want...
No.
For every true crime podcast fan out there, you don't want to end up being part of a true crime podcast, you know?
Right? I want to be the podcast. I don't want to be the subject, so...
Yeah, you want to just be a listener, 5 stars. So you don't want to be like... Tragic tale of Murder, Death, Hike.
Yeah.
Oof. Although now I'm going to write that title down. It's kind of a good title. Is there a show that just specifies about hiking accidents? I don't know. Now there is. Send your money to Frank.
Giving me. Yep. Just do it.